John 21. John 21. I don't know where my mind just went to Luke 24, said it, and then I opened to Luke 24, and I thought, I ain't preaching from here. I have several messages from there I could preach. I have preached from there before, but that's not what the Lord wants me to preach on. We're in John 21. That's where my Bible is, and that's where my notes come from. I could have just said, open your Bibles, and wherever you opened it, it'd have been good. I guarantee you. But I'm going to preach from the good portion of John 21. John chapter number 21, verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we ask that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. And I pray, God, that you would take the Bible and change our lives. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We began last week looking at this passage of scripture. In the life of the disciples, after the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, these spent 3.5 years doing everything with him, were now trying to do it without him. And so as Jesus approached them, in so many words, he approached them with this. You cannot do it without me. You cannot make it without me. You should not try it without me. It ain't working out without me. So cast on the right side. Our desire as a church, our desire as families, our desire as marriages, our desire as Christians, our desire as men, women, boys and girls in this year, 2018, should be to live the Christian life. Would you agree with that? You say amen. The greatest life ever lived is that life of being a Christian. Aren't you glad? You heard him sing this morning. I'm alive. I'm undone. He's changed my life. I got saved. Someone ought to thank God that you're saved this morning. That you've been washed in that blood that they sang about. That still works. That you've been adopted into the family of God. You've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You've been illuminated to the precious word of God. You got a home in heaven in the presence of Almighty God. You'll never spend one second in hell separated from God. You've got the provisions and the gifts that God has made available to you. Aren't you glad today that on the first Sunday of the year, there may be a lot of things that aren't going right in your life and a lot of things you'd like to change in your life, but I for one am glad that there's one thing I'd never change, and that's the fact that I'm saved. And as a Christian, if I'm saved and can only get saved through Jesus Christ, I don't want to live this life. But in 2018, I don't want to live it without him. Now, I know he'll never leave us or forsake us. The Holy Spirit came to lead and to guide us and indwell us. And if you're saved, he'll be with you until Jesus comes back. But I'm telling you, when you cast on the right side, it's not just about you having the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit having you and letting him lead you and guide you and direct you. God doesn't just want to be the paramedic that you call to rescue you when you're in trouble. God wants to be your coach, your guide, your friend every step of the way. He doesn't want to be the tow truck that drags you out of the ditch. He wants to be the driver that keeps you from getting in the ditch. You got to cast in the right side. Last week we looked at this story. We looked at this passage of scripture. And we saw the impulsive actions of these disciples. Peter said, I go fishing. He had messed up. He had denied Christ. And as a result of his dejection inside, if you would, he found himself going back to what he used to do before he got in with Christ and found out that what he used to be good at before Jesus, he wasn't good at after Jesus. Somebody say amen. It never pays to go back. In 2018, don't go back. I said, don't go back. God's brought you too far. We saw the pitiful predicament. We saw the proficient pastime. We saw the participating partners. He not only went back, but there were others that joined with him, six others. And when you make a decision contrary to the will of the word of God, guess what? You often impact other people. We saw the profitless performance. Although they were fishermen, they caught no fish. And I could tell you, my friend, that when it comes to the Christian life, you may be proficient from a human perspective, but without God, you can do nothing. Amen. We saw, if you would, that in the midst of their impulsive actions, there was an incredible appearance. Thank God, verse number 4 said, when the morning was now come. Aren't you glad that the morning comes? Somebody say amen, that the morning comes. Aren't you glad that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning? And some of you for 2017, it was a lot of darkness. It was a lot of dreariness. It was a lot of dismal situations. But aren't you glad that when God shows up, the morning comes? He stood on the shore. Notice his compassionate pursuit. He went looking for them. His comforting position. He was standing in front of them. His curious provocation. He had a question for them. Have you any meat? How good you doing without me? That's what I want you to go home thinking about last week. How good am I doing without him? I'm not asking if you're singing. I'm not asking if you're reading. I'm not asking if you're studying. I'm not asking if you're praying. I'm not asking if you're coming to church. I'm not asking you if you're tithing. I'm not asking you if you're in a ministry. I'm not asking if you're punching the clock. I'm not asking you if you're living the routine. I'm not asking you if you're going through the motions. I'm asking you, how good are you without him? Have you any meat? And of course the answer was no. I want you to notice that not only did he give them a curious provocation, but there was a clueless perception. In other words, they didn't know who he was. I said they didn't know who he was. Listen to me. The best way to not be able to discern God's presence is to get out of his will. Somebody say amen. Listen to me. You can keep saying God's not there. You can keep saying God's not speaking. You can keep saying God's not working. Listen to me. I've been in services where I knew God was working. I've read passages of scripture where I knew God was working. I've sat under messages where I knew God was working. I've seen times where I knew God was working. And I watched people sitting under the presence of God so sure, so moved that God had worked in their life. They were drawn to him. They were moved by him. They were inspired by him. They were changed by him. And on the same pew, in the same service, was a child of God saved by the same grace, washed in the same blood, taught by the same Bible, indwelt by the same Spirit, snatched from the same hell, and headed to the same heaven, and didn't know God was there. You say they didn't get enough sleep last night. You say they're going through too many trials. Trials shouldn't stop you from seeing God's presence. No. Listen now. Hear me. If you don't get anything but message, get this morning. When God shows up and you don't know it, you've been doing some stuff you shouldn't do. I said, you've been doing some stuff you shouldn't do. You say, Pastor, you're preaching at me. No. I'm telling you, they knew God showed up on that Mount of Transfiguration. They knew God showed up when Jairus' daughter woke back up to life. They knew God showed up when he called Lazarus back to life. They knew God showed up when he said, peace be still. And yet there was Jesus, the resurrected Lord. You think anybody else looked like him? You think anybody else acted like him? You think anybody else sounded like him? And yet they were looking at the Savior standing on the shore and they didn't even know who he was. Why? They were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. If they'd been fishing men instead of trying to fish fish, they'd have known when the Master showed up in 2018. If you want to see him in your Bible reading, see him in your prayer. See him at church. See him in your trials. See him in your valley. Don't be looking for a good song, a drum beat, or your favorite lyrics. You want to see God and your eyes be open. Do what you're supposed to do. Stay where you're supposed to be. And stay out of slippery places. It's hard to see God in church on Sunday when you've been seeing the devil in the club on Saturday. Amen. It's hard to see God in the singing at church when you've been listening to the devil in the music in your car. Somebody help me preach. Oh, well, I just need to grow more. I just need to get me in a better church. Could I tell you there are a lot of churches where they're shouting and dancing and yelling and screaming and God ain't in on the shore. Amen. I thank God for shouting. I thank God for amening. But that does not exclusively indicate the presence of God. I'll tell you, when you see the presence of God, you'll know God shows up on Sunday when on Monday you talk to him and on Tuesday you talk to him and on Wednesday, listen to me, the God that came to 5811 Hoffman's Lane today is the same God that met me at 6312 Lincolnia Road yesterday. John 21, right? There's a lot of people of God that think they can just rush in here on Sunday and spot God. Amen. And I don't care who you are, I'm talking to all of you. Whether you stand there or sit there, you don't get to see him just because you're in a position. Amen. You get to see him because you're in the place where you can recognize him. There was Jesus. They didn't even know he was there. Clueless perception. Now, number three, he shows up after these impulsive actions and this incredible appearance with, number three, some instructive advice. So you haven't caught any fish. Well, let me help you catch some. Boy, I love that. I love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is here on the first Sunday in 2018 saying to every profitless Christian, let me help you catch some fish. Let me help you live for me. Let me help you get the job done. Let me help you get better in 2018 where you were worse in 2017. Okay. Cast on the right side. That's the title of the message, right? In other words, fish over there. Huh? Fish over there. The Bible never tells us they hadn't tried already. The Bible doesn't even tell us he told them to do something different. Chances are they had already fished on the right side. But they had fished on the right side without his presence. Amen. It's amazing how the same passage will come alive when you read it again with God's touch on your life. It's amazing how the same church will be such a blessing when you start living for God before you ever get there. It's amazing how that same wife will be a gift from God when you start realizing that you got to walk with God. I'm simply saying he gave them some instructive advice. Number one, there was an assured order. In other words, if you cast on the right side, I want you to notice these three words in verse 6, ye shall find. Here's God saying, do it my way and I promise you it'll work. Come on now. Do it, God. I'm glad that when you're dealing with God, there are no odds of failure. Amen. There are no chances of mishaps. Amen. You do it God's way, it works. Why? Psalm 18, as for God, his way is perfect. Amen. Listen to me, my friend. If it didn't go well last year, it wasn't because you tried God's way and you happened to be one of the cases that didn't work out. I'm going to tell you something. He's never failed. He's never messed up. He's never led me astray. I'm glad today that I can decide on the first Sunday of 2018, if I'll do it God's way, it'll work. Amen. Ye shall find. That was an assured order Now I want you to notice their absolute obedience. They cast therefore. Amen. There's a lot of people that like the three words, ye shall find. Come on. But you can't be receiving the ye shall find if you're not going to reproduce the they cast therefore. Some of you are not saying amen. And make sure you understand me. You can't expect great things from God if you won't attempt great things for God. Amen. No. You say, I'm fishing. No, that's not what I said. He didn't just say fish. He said cast on the right side. In other words, God's not just looking for people to fish. He's looking for people to fish his way. He's not just looking for people to worship. He's looking for people to worship his way. He's not just looking for people to sing. He's looking for people to sing his way, serve his way, stand his way, sow in his way, separate his way, sacrifice his way, surrender his way, sustain his. Listen to me. There are a whole lot of Christians that are doing it, but they're doing it their way. Now, he gave them an assurance before they even obeyed. But the assurance was contingent on their obedience. Amen. I hear a lot of people call me up. Pastor, I don't know what's going wrong. God promised me that he was going to. Yeah, he did. But he also said he would if you did. He promised me he was going to supply my needs. I've been looking in my mailbox. Yeah, but like the woman put them two mites in, Jesus ain't looking in your mailbox. He may be looking in the offering plate. He promised me to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Yeah, but you got to read the first part. Bring you all the tithe to the storehouse. Amen. He promised to supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ. Yeah, but he also said that to a church that was responsible for giving so that other people around the world could be saved. You can't be checking your mailbox from God, amen, if you hadn't put anything up in the mail to God. They cast, therefore, absolute obedience after an assured order which produced an abundant outcome. And now, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you it worked. Listen, I spent 52 weeks in 2017. And if there's anything I know that happened this last calendar year, is I know this. Whatever God said he was going to do, he did. Listen. There were some times he couldn't do some things because we didn't do some things. Psalm 78, we limited the Holy One. We drew a line as to how far God could go because we drew a line as to how far we would go. Amen. But every time I obeyed God, he blessed me. Well, listen to me. I'm glad I came out of a year. I'm in good health. Amen. I'm still standing up in this pulpit and preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen to me. There are a lot of people in 2017 that didn't make it. Amen. There's some of them started off in church and ended up somewhere else. There are some of them that passed away. There are some of them that couldn't move forward. There are some of them that found themselves wandering off. There are some that were serving this time last year that are searching this time this year. But I'm glad I've learned something about God. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. I'm glad that God is not only able to do what he said, but he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Every once in a while when you get discouraged, you don't need a book from God. You can get happy over a word from God. Exceeding, that ought to make you shout. Abundantly, that ought to make you shout. Above, that ought to make you shout. All, that ought to make you shout. Ask, that ought to make you shout. Think, that ought to make you shout. God is able to make you do more than you could ever ask or think. Wow. How in the world did they go from catching nothing to drawing a whole bunch? They cast on the right side. Whew. How many of you have experienced that before? When I took his advice, he blessed. Amen. When I didn't, it was a mess. Amen. So I'm asking in 2018, you want to be blessed or you want to be in a mess? Amen. Amen. Because God can make sure either happens. And a good bunch of it is contingent on what we make sure happens. See, I've learned. I can't make the fish swim into the net. But I can cast in. Boy, I can't save anybody, but I can be a soul winner. Amen. I can't make God show up to church, but I can show up clean. Somebody say amen. Boy, I can't perform miracles. You'll never hear me at this church. Listen to me. I guarantee you, if I could perform miracles, Ken Hawkins wouldn't be dealing with kidney disease and Sister Dawkins wouldn't be going out to the auditorium because she couldn't breathe. Wouldn't nobody in this building have cancer? You wouldn't be on no cancer trial with treatment. None of these folks here. Pastor Mike wouldn't be on medication if I could heal. But God doesn't want me to heal because I'd start thinking too much of myself. I can't heal anybody, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can get up at 5:30 on Sunday morning and fall down on my face, and I got an access line that goes straight to heaven without Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, or what's that new thing they call it? Everybody signed up for that cheap one. What is Metro? You know it, Metro PCS. I don't need any of it. I don't need a prepaid. I don't need a one. I don't need an area code. I don't need a contract. I don't need a smartphone. I can get down on my knees and from here straight to there, shazam, I get through. Everybody waiting for God, telling God what to do. Do what you're supposed to do. He'll come through. It was an abundant outcome. Wow. Multitude. It was so full, they couldn't even drag it. I'm not a psychic. I can't read anybody's palms. And if I could, I'd tell you to put lotion on first. Especially in cold weather. I can't see the future. I'm sitting here today, and if you notice me, I'm always looking around the auditorium. You know, I'm watching and I'm looking and my wife says I'm nosy. I'm just not nosy, just observant. I guarantee you, if somebody coming to bother you, I'll see them. Thank God we got a security team around here. I'm going to tell them where to fire. In the name of Jesus. So I'm looking around, always looking around. And so I watch during service, and I watch what's going on with the choir, and I watch what's going on with the deacons, and I watch what's going on in the foyer, and I watch what's going on in the parking lot and in the balcony. And I see when somebody goes out sick, and I see when the nurse goes out with them, and I see what's going on in the deaf ministry. And so I don't know. Now, there's some people I counsel with, so I know what's going on in their life. There's some people I'm just looking at. And I can't tell who's living in what and who's messing with what. I'm not on social media. And that's for your and my benefit. Because I'd have a hard time preaching what I studied if I had to wrestle with what I saw you were doing on your social media. So I'm not going to put that pressure on me. And I'm certainly not going to give you that much time addressing you. However, there are some things that I can discern without knowing anybody's business, without being on their social media, just from reading scripture. If they respond to God as if God is not excessive, amazing, marvelous, and awesome, then I know they're not living for God. Because when God blesses, he doesn't bless with a thimbleful that you can measure in your sleep. He blesses with a net full that you need other Christians to help you drag in. And there are a bunch of people that say they walk with God, they were walking with some other God. Because when he hasn't exceeded your imagination, he hasn't challenged your allegiance, when he hasn't elicited your worship, come on. When he doesn't put a smile on your face, some joy in your heart, everybody worships differently. Some people shout, some people wave, some people smile, some people grunt, some people put their hanky up, some people stomp their feet, some people clap their head. Listen, I'm for all of it as long as it's genuine. A whole bunch of it isn't. That's another message. genuine and in English. I'm for all of that. Tell you what I'm not for. I'm not for nothing. Amen. You say she broke her alabaster box. I don't have an alabaster box. Well, yours may be a shoe box. I'm just simply saying when you love him, whatever you have, you don't mind breaking it. Amen. And when I get around Christian people that never have anything amazing to say about God, never have anything marvelous to say about God, never have anything glorious to say about God. Listen, I don't need to highlight one year. I just take one day. I can tell you about a group of singles down in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, on Thursday night, where for about 45 minutes, they kept coming, getting right with God. In between New Year's and Christmas, they decided that God was so good, they were going to pay money to sit under preaching to see God show up. I'm glad he's still exceeding my expectation. They couldn't even drag it in. Get to talking about us. Talking to my mother yesterday. And we were just talking about the blessings of God. And you get to thinking about how good he's been. It's like, he's so good, I don't even have enough strength to drag in the fish. And then you got these Christians, just kicking but not high. And, God just sure wish he'd consider me when he blessed. He woke you up this morning. He considered you. My alarm clock woke you up. No, your alarm clock was making noise. God woke you up. Amen. Woke you up with enough brain power to hit snooze even while you weren't woke. Somebody say amen. And brought you to a church. And put you in a country where you can have church. And gave you a Bible that he wrote using 40 different men over a 1600 period time. And gave you a manuscript from cover to cover that's still the bestseller that mankind's ever read. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfect, prophetic, pure, preserved, potent, powerful, precious, profitable, perfecting, piercing, and penetrating. You find me another book that's like that. There ain't one, because there ain't no other book that God wrote besides the Bible. You looking for a blessing? Good night. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's why we still sing that. We ain't going to sing another song when he stops blessing. So plan on us singing it. The instructive advice, I need to hasten. We're going to be doing this next week and tell Dr. Halsey to put it off for 1 week. But anyway, number four. The instinctive awareness. Verse 4, they're doing it wrong and they don't know it's him. Verse 6, they're doing it right. And John says, that's got to be him. Come on now, say amen. Boy, it's amazing how you don't have to change locations to get your eyes open. You just change lifestyles. It's amazing when you get junk out your trunk, how clear what used to be unclear becomes. John, disciple whom Jesus loved, that's referring to John the apostle, the writer of this passage, said, Peter, you know what? You know who that is on the shore talking to us? That's the Lord. Come on now. That's the Lord. But I tell you, I've heard couples, they sat down with me in my office, said, Pastor, when we started living our marriage the way God told us to live our marriage, we start looking at each other all of a sudden, say, you know who that is working in our life? That's the Lord. You know who that is that's walking with us through those trials? That's the Lord. Listen to me. Stop blaming God. I don't know when God, but he's been there. He's been there. I said, he's been there. You just didn't know who he was because you were fishing on the wrong side. Peter! That's the Lord! Praise his name. What a clear recognition John had. You say, how did he know it? First of all, he obeyed. And secondly, he had an outcome. Amen. I mean, John knew that there's no way we can fish like we've been fishing and catch nothing. And then because one man said, fish over here, and we catch more than we can drag in, there is no other man that could pull that off than the master, the God man himself. You get close enough to God, he'll start doing stuff that will eliminate all other options besides him. Clear recognition. That's what it ought to be in this church. There ought to be a demonstration of God in this place that cannot be manufactured or counterfeited by anybody else. And by the way, the devil's so slick and so smart. We need more than just a presentation of spiritual appearance, because it can be easily confused. I don't know any other way to be assured that the people of God know God's presence in this place than to push them to obedience to his word so that they know it's him. Because there are men all over the country that will tell you that was God, and people believe it because he said it.
That's right.
The last thing I want you to do is come to Crossroads Baptist Church and lean on me for everything you need to know about God.
That's right.
Because if that's the case, you ain't going to know it's God on Monday and Saturday. Or you're going to be calling me on them days to tell you whether it's him. And I don't have enough time to take all those calls. But what I can do is force you, push you, preach you, challenge you, live before you the essence of being in his presence, so that when you can't get a hold of your pastor and you can't wake up your wife and you don't have a choir, you got enough know-how about the presence of God to say, that's him. We have too few Christians and churches in America, including this one, that know how to spot him. Scott, you know, because I've heard them claim it was him when I knew it wasn't. So you can't claim to spot him while you're sinning against him. Clear recognition. It's him, Peter! Oh, my goodness. He was fine being naked as long as he didn't know it was Jesus. By the way, he wasn't naked, but the context here is he did not have his cloak on. He didn't have his coat on, his outer coat on. And there's a whole message in here. I don't have time to preach it. I'm just simply saying, if we became more aware of God's presence, we'd be more convicted about our practices. how you try to get women to dress modest and men to be holy and teenagers to be pure and Christians not to be worldly in a church? Well, I tell you how you don't do it. You can't do it by preaching on every issue. There's too much Bible for me to just get up here and preach political issues and social issues and women issues and men issues. Years ago, somebody left the church because we wouldn't preach to the people and tell them who to vote for. Oh, this Bible here, and I'm going to get up and tell you who to vote for? Yeah, I will. You vote for Jesus. And then let him tell you who to vote for in the booth. Who'd you vote for? That's none of your business. Amen. But I tell you who we vote for in this church. One head. It ain't me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You get that vote right, and I guarantee you can get in the booth. He'll tell you what to do. I don't have time to counsel people, tell everybody what to do. Some pastors want people to check with him about everything they do. You bought that car and didn't call me. You bought that house and didn't call me. You took that job and didn't call me. You went to that place and didn't, you vacationing where and didn't call me. The pastor's not meant to lord over every decision in your life. He's meant to feed the flock. Amen. Feed them with the word of God. live Jesus in front of them. Teach them how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when they get up to make a decision, they go in the job interview. And when that single adult down at college lays her eyes on that cute boy and he says, "Oh, girl, you look so fine." And that girl has to call the pastor if she's reading her Bible every morning and if she's praying every day. And if for heaven's sake she listened every time she was in the youth group, she'll know enough about that bucko. Get out of my face. You don't even smell like Jesus. Call me asking me, should you marry him? Call me telling me you told him to hit the road. God will give you discernment. Amen. I'm trying to get you in his presence. That's why we have standards. That's why we preach hard. That's why we preach the Bible. Not because you got a church that's trying to run your life or lord over you or practice legalism. We know that you can't have the privyness to the advice and the leadership of God unless you obey God. You got to get in his presence. Get on your knees. Get right with him. There are too many decisions to make between Sunday and Wednesday to be waiting for the preacher's message. Try to send you college kids off to school. Walk with God.
Amen.
Lord, help us. You don't know whether I'm walking with God. Yes, I do. Because you wouldn't be comfortable looking like that and acting like that if you knew he was there. I don't know nowadays. People do everything in the presence of God. Anything in church. Come any kind of way. Do anything they want to do. It really doesn't matter. God sees my heart. He sees your him too. And he wants both of them to match in allegiance to his lordship. And I can't mete out what all of that matching is. But I can tell you, it is certainly different than what the world calls matching. Man alive. Them playoff games don't come over till 4 today, right? There was clear recognition it's him. Peter says it is. I better jump in the water. I don't like me when I see him. Find me anybody in the Bible that saw him and was cool with himself. There were people that tried. They got to the temple, but they didn't leave alive. Boom. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. I just like to come bring this offering. Boom. The people that carry your husband out will carry you out. Boom. Because they tried to walk into God's presence and not change. And now Peter says, "You mean tell me it's him?" Whew, jumped in the water. There was a clear recognition. There was a convicted response. There was a coming result. Here come all of them. Boy, after he does a miracle, shouldn't it bring you towards him? Come on. Follow the exposition. The other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net. Well, hey, folks, if he's the one that filled the net with fish, let's go to where he is. I never have understood how people can get on the receiving end of a blessing of God and go further from him. I mean, if all you're doing is coming because he blessed, at least that's a reason to come. Here they come with a closer draw and carried dividends. They got the fish with them. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. By the way, when you show up to church, bring your blessings with you. It'll help you worship while you're here. Looking at them fish. Boy, God did that. Number five, there was an intimate association with him. And here they come. Just made us successful. And now we get to come and spend time with him. Now here's what I'm thinking. He just led us to catch all these fish. Now he's going to bring us towards him. We're going to cook the fish and share the fish he helped us catch with him. And then they come towards land where he is with all these fish, only to find out they're not going to eat the fish they caught. He already made some. In In other words, I don't need your fish to eat. Matter of fact, you're not even catching those fish to consume them. Amen. You're catching those fish so you know I can help you catch those fish. I'm going to feed you. Amen. Don't ever worry about running out of food if you're serving the Lord. He'll feed you. What an alert it must have been for them to arrive on the shore after catching all those fish and find out he already had fire and coals, already had fish, and already had bread. Glory to God. Amen. Boy, if you showed up at church this morning, thank God for the fish you brought with you. But you didn't bring those fish for us to eat. God already cooked before you got here. Amen. There was an impressive preparation that God had made. There was an interesting prescription that God gave. Now listen to his response. We got them fish. We're going to cook them. No, don't bring them here and cook them. Bring them here and count them. Bring up the fish which you have now caught. This is a way of saying count those. Count them fish. We don't need to eat them. Count them. Simon Peter went up, drew the net full of land, great fishes. How many did it say he counted? Come on, talk to me. It's in the Bible. This is not a trick question. 100 and how many? There's all kinds of speculation. Was that the number of fish that were, of species of fish that were in the water at that time? Some have speculated that it was the number of languages that cultures that spoke that day. I'm not going to speculate as to what it was, but I will tell you this, that in that net was a diverse collection. Every kind of fish you can think of was in that net. Amen. You know what I love about God? When you fish his way, you can catch every kind of fish. That's what a local church ought to be. It ought to be a church full of all kinds of different fish. Some of them grew up in one kind of pond, and some of them grew up in another. Some of them salt water, and some of them fresh water. Some of them swim upstream, and some of them just kind of float. Amen? But aren't you glad that when you get in God's net, it doesn't matter what kind of fish you are. It just matters what net you're in. Amen. There was a diverse collection and there was a divine capability. Notice what the Bible said. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Listen to me, my friend. This interesting prescription also brought about the incomparable power of God. And here was God's power. Not only to catch diversity, but God's capability of divinity. Watch it now. The net was so full, they couldn't even drag it. But bless God, God's power was so strong that not one fish fell at that net and not one part of that net was broken. And I'm glad that out of all the fish that God has caught over the years, he has never lost one. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Crossroads, we do what we're supposed to do in 2018. You rest assured we'll catch fish. And I promise you, the net will not break. God's never lost. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, isn't that not the awesomeness of God? The inviting proposition. Come and dine. Come eat with me. Oh, I don't have time to deal with all of this, but could I tell you the Jesus that gives you power to serve him? Is the Jesus that invites you to eat with him? Amen. Boy, if he's feeding you on Sunday, why don't you get up and fellowship with him on Monday? The intuitive penetration. No one dare ask who it was. They all knew he was the Lord. Amen. Boy, you watch this progression. In John 7, in verse number 7, John knows it's him. He tells Peter, Peter knows it's him. By the time they get up and start seeing all that food he cooked, all of them knew it was him. You don't have to be a genius to know the presence of God. You just have to be obedient. He'll turn the light on. The impeccable provision. Wow. Bread and fish. And the impactful persistence. Verse 14. This is the third time he showed himself. I mean, he rose from the dead. He didn't even have to show them himself. He showed them himself because they were doubting that he rose. And he showed them not once, not twice, but three times. Aren't you glad that God is patient with our slow learningness? Whew. How many times in 2017 did he have to show you it was him? Lastly, and I'll close. Give me about 5 minutes. He's done all of this. And now, he's going to close this chapter with an intense analysis. I told you, a lot of John 21 was about Peter. Because the last time we saw Peter in something significant, he was sitting by fire denying Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Without a doubt, there was a thought-provoking scenario in this occasion. Because again, he's by a fire. Remembering everything that he had done. And yet Jesus says, Peter, let's talk. Personal discussion. Lovest thou me? What does that have to do with what we're doing? I thought we were catching fish. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just caught a bunch of fish because I told you where to fish and you caught it. But I'm finna go to my Father. And you're going to encounter more difficulties and more challenges than you ever have in your life. And you're going to need to do more than just throw a net in where I told you. You got to love me. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou? 3 times he asked him, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? I don't have time. Number one, lovest thou me? Agapeo. Number three, lovest thou me? Agapeo. What is that? That's the kind of love that God loves us with. It's pure, genuine, total commitment love, irrespective of rights. It's not love because of what someone does. It's love because someone chooses to. We're always commanded to love God with agape love. He asked him, lovest thou me? Number one, agape. Number three, agape. But number two, he said, lovest thou me? Phileo. That's affectionate love. The premier subject was love. The pertinent specificity was, what kind of love? Now watch this now. Is there anybody in the building who hasn't been enabled by God to do great things? It's all of us. But the great things that God enables you to do, they are always allowed to be done through you so you can love him more. So he's asking every servant in the building today, let's talk. Do you love me? Do you love me? Real love. Not after I heal you, not after I bless you. That's phileo love. That's what you do with your friends. Do you love me just because you love me? Oh, the personal discussion led to a prideful defense. Yay, Lord. Come on, Lord. You already know I love. That's what we all say. Come on, Lord. You know I love. That's pride. Could I tell you, if you're in the building, don't ever answer God, yeah, Lord, you know I love you, like it's automatic. The practical demonstration is feed my sheep. If you love me, show me. Why call ye then me Lord and do not the things I say? And by the way, there's so much in here. Notice the question, lovest thou me more than these? There are three possibilities to what he meant. Lovest thou me more than these? Number one, lovest thou me more than you love these fish? Come on. Number two, lovest thou me more than you love these other disciples? Number three, lovest thou me more than the other disciples love me? And by the way, all of those answers need to be yes. You have to love God more than you love anything. Come on. You should love God more than anybody else loves him. And you should love God more than you love anybody else. Somebody say amen. That's always God's discussion in 2018. Not how much you sing, not how much you give, not how much you go, not how much you say, how much you love. What about all those other issues? Love will fix all of them. It's always a love problem. The painful declaration. Then he takes the time and says, when you were young, you gird up yourself and walk where you walk. But when you're old, someone's going to stretch forth your hands. We know very clearly, verse number 19, Jesus was predicting how Peter was going to die through crucifixion. That's pretty painful for God to tell you how you're going to die. But if you love him right, you can handle it. And then right after he told him how he's going to die, he said, follow me. Pastor, I sure would like to know I love God like I should. I'll tell you how you can know. When right after he tells you about something bad that's going to happen to you, you're still willing to follow him. The popular deflection after he gets this painful, this pure dedication, follow me. The popular deflection is Peter looks up and sees John. What about him? So you telling me how I'm going to die? How are you going to die? You telling me to follow you? What about him? Here, hey, here's a good choice to make in 2018 on the first Sunday of the year. Stop worrying about other people.
Well, you got on me, you didn't get on him. Well, you said something to him, you didn't say something to me. Well, you
follow Christ. All you can fix is you. Quit deflecting. The pointed direction. Follow me. And the pertinent devotion. No matter what happens with anybody else, you decide. You're going to do it my way. You know, I've never been more driven to live for God than I am now. One of the reasons is we're running out of time. A couple of weeks, we'll preach a new theme that we have for 2018. But that ain't a bad one. Last year, we put it up as you see the day approaching. Could I tell you, without knowing when Jesus is coming back, when we woke up today, we became one day closer. And I'm just wondering, where are the Christians that got urgency? Urgency to say, if I'm going to do something for God, I better do it now. Hey, let me tell you something. God doesn't have to keep us alive. We've been blessed. A lot of people we prayed for, God has healed. But he doesn't have to do that. We're blessed that he does. But he never heals anybody just to say they got healed. He heals to give them more time to live for him. The world is looking for some real Christians. And the more places I go, I see people throwing the net out and they're content to fish and catch nothing. I don't want any wasted services, any wasted messages, any wasted songs, any wasted offerings, any wasted anything. If we're going to get out on this crazy sea of life and throw the net in, I vote catching fish. There's only one way to do it. Get off the throne. Quit calling the shots. Stop trying to do his stuff without him. And determine from this point forward to cast on the right side. Our Father, we have some choices to make. Big choices. And one of them, one of the main ones is whether we love you. You're asking every church member today, lovest thou me? Oh, yeah, Lord, I know you love. But who you been feeding? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I know I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. I know it. You may put your hands down. Then if you are saved, how many of you say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I want to make sure that I do it his way. Would you raise your hand? God, help us. Marriage, worship, serving, whatever. I got to do it God's way. God bless you. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? All over the building, anybody. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this invitation time and do what you can only do. In Jesus' name, amen.